Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. On the way to our conversation, I want to remind you that WEAA presents the Zimbabwe Shona Stone exhibit, created by Beverly Carter and Lewis Hudnell, presented by the Zimbabwe Gallery. Join us for the closing reception and gallery talk Tuesday, February 28th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. here at WEAA Studios. It's sponsored by AXA Advisors. Information is available at weaa.org. And this is an amazing exhibit of modern sculpture from Zimbabwe, beautifully done. An amazing exhibit is closing out, and you don't want to miss this opportunity to join us here. You can watch us do the show while you're here. We'll be out to talk to you afterwards and just be amazed by this modern art, sculpture art from Zimbabwe. Stephanie Kuntz first joined us on the show 19 years ago, actually, in May of 1993, and has been coming on the show a great deal since then when she writes her books, writes these articles. One she wrote just recently that caught our attention was called Santorum's Stone Age View of Women. And Stephanie Kuntz is professor of history and family studies at the Evergreen State College in Washington State. She's director of research at the Council on Contemporary Families. Her most recent book is Strange Stirring, The Feminine Mystique and American Women at the Dawn of the 1960s. And Stephanie, welcome back. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Mark.
And the lines are open at 410-319-8888. And this was a great article you wrote. And it really was kind of shocking because there's an overall assault going on now, it seems to me, in America from a number of corners against women, against women's right to choose, against women and families, against the role of women in our society. A backlash has taken place that's much larger than some people would expect.
Well, I think in many ways, though, it's a rear guard action. When it's directed directly at women's rights. I mean, I just spent 5 years researching how women were regarded and treated in the early 1960s, and it's really stunning how far we've come. I mean, it's worth stopping for a minute before we talk about the attacks on women
mm-hmm.
to remember what an extraordinary strange it was. In 1963, when Betty Friedan published her book, there were still sex-segregated want ads, help wanted female, help wanted male. A woman with a college education could work full-time year-round and still earn less than a man with a high school education. There were only 8 states where a homemaker had any call on the income that her husband earned during the marriage. Unless she could prove fault, like adultery, she had no legal recourse in case of divorce. So, and this was a period when Betty Friedan was considered a radical for saying something like, you know, I say, this was an exact headline of one of the articles she published, and you know how people who write headlines always try to make things sound much more perhaps controversial than they are. And so this was the headline writer's idea of a controversial headline: women are people too. Now we've come so... You know, it's like, duh. But as I researched it, I realized that it was indeed a radical thing to say then. And we have come so far since. The polls show that people do support women's right to work. They believe that women who work can be good mothers. They believe in equality. But there is this rear guard action being fought by those who do not want to see the revolution extended and, in fact, would like it to be pushed back. And you're seeing a lot of rhetoric in this election year, particularly as some group of people try to appeal to individuals who have been, you know, it's been a very stressful set of changes that have occurred. And so one way of dealing with all the social and economic changes that have occurred is to say, well, if women just hadn't entered the workforce, it would be okay. And that's what stimulated me to write that article on Santorum. I'm actually try to be fairly nonpartisan and let people make their own choices about their politicians. But when I hear falsities like the accusation that working women prefer their professions to raising their kids and that they're not good mothers, well, then I just can't shut up.
Nor should you.
Exactly.
Join us here, 410-319-8888. Stephanie Kuntz joins us to talk about the piece she wrote for CNN, Santorum's Stone Age View of Women.
Can I say something real fast, Mark?
Please, go ahead.
I didn't make that headline up, and I think it's an insult to Stone Age men and women.
Well, from the earlier books, I would say that it is an insult. The books
it
you
is.
Wrote about...
Most of history, men and women worked together. The idea of a male breadwinner was unknown in colonial days and through most of history. It was an invention of the 19th century.
But some people want to take us back to that point. I mean, it seems whether you look at – we'll jump right into your article here in 2 seconds. But when you look at what some state legislatures are doing, when the rhetoric now about what's going on in Capitol Hill with these all-male panels telling women what they should do with their bodies, to all of the kind of lecturing going on and some really laws that kind of take people backwards. I mean, this may be – it is a backlash – but it, unfortunately, I think it has some teeth.
Well, yes, I do. And I think particularly the contraception one, which is stunning because the overwhelming majority of Americans support a right to legal abortion under at least some circumstances, and even more so definitively support the right to contraception. And it's so ironic and contradictory for people who say that they are against abortion to also be against the contraception that allows people to never have to get to that place. But yes, there is this minority of people totally opposed to what the majority of Americans want who are really pushing this and making some strides. And of course, what's really sad about it, Mark, is that those people who have the income and the health insurance and the resources to go get the contraception they need, they're not going to actually, I don't think we'll go back to the days when it was outlawed as it was before the 1965 Supreme Court ruling, but those people who do not have as many resources, who are not in neighborhoods where it is easy to get out to a second pharmacy if one pharmacy is allowed to turn you down, who don't have access to Planned Parenthood, which is, of course, under attack by these people, these are the women and families, men as well, that are really going to suffer.
One of the things that you tackle in this piece on Rick Santorum is the idea that poor women, single mothers, will not improve their job prospects, not improve their life if the government helps fund their going back to school.
Yes, I mean, that almost left me speechless when I read that. There's this, you know, it's so funny to read these people who are so opposed to dependency that they will not allow what they call dependency, our society to help invest in people's independence. They prefer that women be dependent upon a single man, which is, I mean, it's debatable in and of itself, having interviewed a lot of women from the 50s and 60s who did enter marriages where they were dependent on men and then were trapped in very bad marriages. But even aside from that, let's look at the prospects facing impoverished women today when Santorum says we should not invest in their education or job training. What kind of man is going to be available for them to be dependent on? Unemployment rates have soared, and for people in low-income communities with poor education, access to just terrible education, or even not able to complete their education, the real wages of such men have fallen by more than $4 in constant dollars since 1979, and they're lower than they were at the height of the 60s. Their income insecurity has increased. Their chance of experiencing unemployment has tripled, and their access to medical care has plummeted. So they say, well, get yourself married, but, you know, all you're going to do is get yourself married to another guy who may not be able to support himself, far less you.
I mean, folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Your own thoughts, what you think is going on when you hear these statements being made. People can argue about less government and people believing that you should have less government than more and not investing in certain things. But when this is kind of tied up, especially in attacks on women, an attack on women who are poor, attack on women of color in this country, it really affects us all. 410-319-8888, as we talk with Stephanie Kuntz. I mean, because the idea that, I mean, you, whether you live in a community like this in Baltimore or in Seattle, or whether you live in rural America or on out west on a reservation, that the struggle to maintain your life and to grow is not to be supported, because women should be in the home. Women should kowtow to what our old-fashioned idea of what marriage should be. I mean, that's basically what he's telling us, is to go back to a different part of our life.
Well, and the internal contradictions in it are stunning. I mean, to go back to Rick Santorum's position, he says we shouldn't fund education for women so that they can get a job and support themselves. We shouldn't provide contraception so that they can prevent themselves from bringing children into the world accidentally. So it's really not clear what he wants at all, unless he perhaps just wants us to completely isolate this segment of the population, pretend they don't exist, and treat them so badly that they kowtow and acquiesce in this. It's just, to me, a kind of stunning thing. The very best predictor of not only whether a woman will be able to pull herself and her children out of poverty, but also how her children will turn out academically is not her marital status, but her educational background and her educational aspirations for her children. So the most important thing we can do, whatever your positions on other kinds of issues, is to provide education for these young women.
One of the things, and we'll get to these calls coming in a minute at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Stephanie Kuntz about her article on Rick Santorum, is that when you wrote about his opposition to contraception, and I think one of the words you used, that you said it's like part and parcel of deep hostility towards efforts to empower women and enhance their status, in an attack on what he called in his book the radical feminist pitch, where he didn't said his co-author was his wife, but he didn't even give his wife credit.
Yes, I mean, at one point in his book, he attacks this radical feminist idea, or the pitch, to use his word, which is obviously a word chosen to signal that it's baloney, that, quote, women should have an equal right to make it to the top of their profession. And then when he was called on this, quote, he actually had the gall to say, well, he didn't remember saying that, and actually his wife read that part of the book, wrote that part of the book, which, first of all, is not true, because he was asked about this, quote, 5 years ago, or even more than that, when the book first came out, and then he defended it. But secondly, if it was true, it would be about as ungallant as you can be. It's like, well, my wife made me do it, and I still didn't give her credit for the book.
Let me open the phones. 410-319-8888. And Catherine in Baltimore County, you're on the air.
Okay, hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is such a great conversation, and Mark, your guest is right on, and I say to all women, we need to send Rick Santorum a message to let him know that he's wrong, and we need to petition against him to let him know who we are and what we stand for.
I think a lot of women feel that way, Catherine and Stephanie.
Yes, yes. I mean, and the idea, he then went on to say, to accuse women who work of preferring work to their children. And I just, you know, that enrages me, the idea that somehow that a woman who chooses to be a co-provider for her family doesn't care about her kids just as much as a woman who chooses to stay home.
That's
and the evidence is against it. The evidence is that working women do not neglect their kids. In fact, when you look at the amount of time that women, and educated women in particular, spend in childcare, you'll find that the average working wife today spends more time interacting with her kids than the average stay-at-home wife did back in 1965 at the height of the so-called male breadwinner Ozzie and Harriet family.
I'm going to come back to those stats because they're really important. Let me go back to the phones, get this, some calls in, but I do want to come back to really kind of setting aside the mythology we have about working women, working families, the time spent with children. I think that this myth needs to be debunked. Let's go to the phones. Catherine, thanks so much for that call. 410-319-8888. And Clarence, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Steiner.
Hi, Clarence. How are you?
It's fine. It's funny that in listening to your show yesterday, I was relating some of what we're talking about here, you're talking about here today, to just lack of thinking and a lack of understanding of the social issues, and not thinking clearly about the policies that you want to push forth and the social ramifications. And also, it seems to me like power, people in power, they seem to develop this Neanderthal type of mentality or view of the rest of the world. It's just what I feel like, and I'm going to implement this, or I'm going to say this without giving any thought to the social ramifications of it. That's just my opinion, but it does kind of tie into what your guest yesterday was speaking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. What Clarence is referring to is the show we did yesterday with P.M. Forney on his book on thinking and how we've lost the ability to think in America. We've not lost it, but we could lose it, and how thinking makes us realize the complexity of issues and how to wrestle with things, and we're losing that. And I think that we, in some ways, have lost some of that kind of...
I can certainly testify to that just from the emails that I got about this Santorum article. See, I can totally understand people having different moral outlooks, but supposedly the people who support Santorum's comments about contraception and about working women are people who have supposedly very strong moral points of view. But you should have seen the obscene, hate-filled, misogynistic and actually filthy emails that I got in response to my criticism. So I think that you're right, that there's something other than thinking going on here.
Let me return to the phones for 410-319-8888. And Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Mark, and thanks for covering this topic. My question is that given, so I knew that I didn't necessarily agree with Rick Santorum politically, but I didn't know about his views on women. And given the fact that they're really extraordinarily out there, I think, as compared to mainstream society and how we view women today and their role in our families and community, I'm just wondering why more hasn't been said in the press about his perspective. And whether or not he's impressed on what policy issues he would initiate as president around his ideas about women. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Stephanie?
Well, I think that now that he has risen, I think actually, to be frank, that most people journalists who had read some of the totally ignorant things this man had said, for example, back in 2005, equating same-sex marriage with having sex with dogs. You know, I think most people just didn't take him seriously, and now that he is rising in these Republican primaries, people are going to be examining this, and I have a lot of confidence that most Americans, whatever their point of view politically, are not going to accept this. In fact, if I were the Democratic Party, I'd be hoping madly that he was the nominee, because so many women are going to be outraged when they begin to see what he really believes.
There was a cartoon just a few weeks ago. I saw that someone sent me that this showed President Barack Obama watching TV with his fist in the air going, "Go Newt." So maybe saying, "Go Rick."
Yes,
but,
exactly.
But 410-319-8888, we'll get the calls here as we talk with Stephanie Kuntz. But going back to what I wanted to really get into for a minute was this idea of debunking the myth of the family and working families. And the one thing you said there, and I'll just expound a little bit more than you did in the article, that it's not just the fact that men and women working take more time with their children, but that men whose wives are more educated than they take more interest in their children, or something like that you wrote.
Well, there are a couple of things at work here. I mean, it's absolutely true that when two people work full time, they don't have as much just like quantitative time to spend with their kids. But when we actually analyze the time that people spend interacting with their kids, we find that most working couples make up for that by spending much more interactive time when they are home. They give up housework in order to do it. They give up sleep in order to do it. And they spend less time in personal grooming, which you could say is either good or bad. But they also give up television, which I think is definitely a good thing. So as it works out, kids are getting more time from their parents than ever before in history. And there are always trade-offs. When a woman takes a job, now, I want to say this. When women first entered the workforce, there was an interesting thing happened. You did see a decline in the total time that kids got with both parents because in those days when a woman entered the workforce, the average husband did not increase his time in childcare. That has completely changed. Men have more than doubled their time in childcare. And when a man's wife works, he does more childcare, and he has higher parental knowledge. A man whose wife works outside the home, there's in some ways, whatever the disadvantages, and I do not deny them, we live in a society that just does not make enough time for family life, for any kind of family. But there, whatever the other disadvantages, one thing we see is that men whose wives work outside the home tend to develop that firsthand parental knowledge that they don't develop when they are the secondary parents. So they know who their kids' friends are and what time their kids get off school.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good thing. It leads to much more closeness with the kid than in more traditional families where the woman takes care of all of that and the father is the secondary parent.
A lot of it had to do, I think, with kind of almost the revolution of thinking that took place in the 60s and 70s that not only changed the nature of women in the relationship to society, but began to change the consciousness of men along with them. That's what began to happen, I think.
Well, absolutely. We hear so many people, and it happens among some career women, just as it does among some people who are opposed to women working at all, emphasizing only the side of the women's movement that argued for women's access to the public world and rewards and personal satisfactions of work. But the flip side of that has always been the argument for the access of men to the rewards and satisfactions of family life. And what I think is the ideal society and the kind that was envisioned by the early leaders of the women's movement was one where both men and women would be able to combine access to a meaningful work life and access to a meaningful family life rather than segregating the two sexes into these separate spheres of existence. You know, let me just add one interesting thing.
Sure.
that I have really gained so much. I think the women's movement has been so good for men. You know, when I was interviewing men and women for this book on women in the 1960s and family life in the 60s, the women had always been told you get your greatest satisfactions in life when you get married and have kids. And the men were always told you get your greatest satisfaction by holding down a job. Well, what happened, and that's the reason that women moved faster in the women's movement, is they at an earlier age found out that this was a lie. You know, women told me, I got my good husband, I love my husband, I love my kids, and yet I knew there was something missing. I'd been lied to, I needed something more. The guys told me, often in tears, I didn't realize there was something missing until I retired.
Mm.
I did my work, I got my gold watch, I came home and I found out I was a stranger to my wife and kids. That's the kind of world we're trying to overcome.
Let's go back to the phones at 410-319-8888 if you talk with Stephanie Kuntz, reflecting on her article she just wrote for CNN on Rick Santorum and women. She is a professor of history at Evergreen College and family studies, one of leading experts on that. Her latest book is Strange Stirring, The Feminine Mystique and American Women at the Dawn of the 1960s. And Dolores, you're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Mark Stone. I haven't seen you in about a year.
It's good to hear from you.
I wanted to remark on what you just said. I read an article recently saying that children benefit when their mothers work. And as an aside, I read another article stating that Rick Santorum said out of his own mouth that if women were raped, they should view that as God's gift and they should keep the child and raise it. So if that's not a wake-up call for people to not vote for Rick Santorum and wonder what in the God's green earth is going on with the Republican Party, it should be.
Thank you, Dolores. And I know Stephanie will remain nonpartisan, but...
but that doesn't require much comment. And the earlier thing about the importance for women who work. Now, it's important that women have access to higher quality jobs. Women who work in high quality jobs, we have a new study out from the Council on Contemporary Families. You can go to our website and find it. It was by Rachel Gordon and her colleagues. We found a very interesting thing, that women who who wanted to work and mothers who wanted to work and were able to do so had low rates of depression. Mothers who wanted to stay home and were able to do so had low rates of depression. Mothers who wanted to work and had to stay home had very high rates of depression, and that's very bad for their kids. But one of the most interesting things, and this is why promoting education for impoverished women and all of us is so important, even women who would have preferred to stay home but were working and had high-quality jobs had just as low rates of depression as the women who had gotten what they wanted. So that's a win-win situation for investing in women's quality jobs and their education, and for men's too, I might add.
Amen. And a very quick thought from Andrea in Baltimore. You're on the air. We're almost out of time, Andrea. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, no, I was just going to say I agree with you. That kind of cut part of my comment short about the education piece of it. But then, too, just kind of wondered, how women feel like I do. I grew up during the whole women's live movement. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I need a job. You know, remember that commercial, Anjali, I can bring home the bacon? So overrated. If I had known what I know now, and, some of my friends feel this way, too, I would love to be a stay-at-home mom. I love kids. I work with kids forever. I love the kids that I teach. But, at the end of the day, I just would rather be at home with my own kids.
Well, we all need more choices in that way. But if we had a society that had more family-friendly work policies that allowed people to give and take and to flow with the needs of their families. In Sweden, for example, you can drop down to three-quarters work with no loss of insurance benefits if you want to spend more time with your kids. This is the sort of thing we need to experiment, not this all-or-nothing kind of approach to work and family.
Stephanie Kuntz is Director of Research at the Council on Contemporary Families. Her most recent book is Strange Stirring, The Feminine Mystique and American Women at the Dawn of the 1960s. And Stephanie, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
We'll take a very brief break and come back. When we do, we're going to take another one of looks at what the bills are that are being battled in Annapolis. One of them has to do with wind power. Some people say it is the wave of the future. Martin O'Malley wants to build wind turbines in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Maryland. Others say it's a waste of money. It will raise our rates. This is not the way to go. We're going to look at that when we come back, so please stay with us.